This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Dave Seeger and Chris Howard. Well, for the next hour, there may have been no football on the weekend. Not the real football anyway. No Premier League action. But we'll be talking about the manager, obviously, Torreira, Bellerin. What is going on with some of the players? What is going on with their agents? Maybe more to put it. And what is happening at the club right now? And we're going to be looking at those next run of fixtures because Arsenal, they need a win. It needs to happen this Saturday against Southampton. Delighted to say Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast will be joining us to give us an opposition view of that game. Arsenal at home hoping for 3 points. They need to kickstart that run somewhere. But as always, you can get involved in tonight's show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, no football, which means no negativity, Chris. No bad result to talk of. No poor performance.
Why do you look at me? He looks at me for the negativity.
No, yeah, I'm always positive. You know,
Dave, you know, yeah. Dave's yeah, always positive. Well, Charlie's positive.
Enjoy watching all those Arsenal players playing for England. It's great. Mm. Oh no, there weren't any.
Yeah,
I haven't been for years.
And to top
where's Danny Welbeck when you need him?
And to top it off, Harry Kane and Harry Winks can't stop scoring. Well,
who are they?
Yeah. Nicely put, Seeger, to start us off tonight. But Chris, obviously, look, no poor performance, no game to chew over from the weekend. But it has been the international break. Always boring, I find. But now we can concentrate on the Premier League returning. Do you think that maybe the international break was just what Arsenal needed?
I would say yes. So when we spoke last Monday, yes. And then I got to Tuesday afternoon and I was like, oh, blimey, this is rubbish. The build-up where the press just go over the top with the internationals. And then they're the most pointless. They were pointless, weren't they? Let's be honest with you. I didn't even know that the England-Kosovo game was on until I saw that it came up on my sky-hopping, channel-hopping ways. But, yeah, I'm actually glad to be back into thinking about Arsenal. But does that even happen for another day or two? Because we've got, you know, the fallout as the players come back. There's still some internationals going on at the moment. And then we'll get Unai Emery. I mean, if he started his press conference tomorrow, we might actually get some decent sound bites by Friday because he does like to waffle, doesn't he?
Ooh, I know. That's not nice. The Emery bashing has already started. I hope we can look towards the game because we've got an Arsenal fan show for an hour, so we have to look at it in some capacity. But Dave, it was interesting, just before we started on Drive, Martin Allen said that there's two ways to look at an international break. One, the players can get away, they can recharge, recover, change of scenery, they can forget what's going on with their domestic clubs. But the flip side is, they come back, they're all happy from their international duty, then they go, oh, back to this, and this is still going on like a cloud hanging over. What way do you see it?
Well, I think also, because of the cloud that is hanging over the team at the moment, we've also had all the agent talk and what that's what we know about because that's been in the papers. What we don't know about is club, you know, international teammates saying, well, yeah, you know, maybe you should come here or maybe it's not going on there. Maybe you want to move. I mean, I saw us linked to, you know, a Swiss teammate of Xhaka's as his replacement if he goes to Borussia Mönchengladbach. I'm thinking, oh, Xhaka's really going to have sold us, isn't he, in the international break there. That's really going to have happened.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Granite.
It's definitely a good move for you, yeah.
Granite, my agent said I should come over. Talk to me about the fans.
Yeah.
How do they treat you in the stadium?
Apart from these two guys called Dave and Chris, they're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't even include Charlie. No, Charlie's not here tonight, so you're out. If you're not in the studio, you camp for nothing. I'm dreading the fact that the night I can't make it. But let's talk about that, because Dave mentioned it, what the teammates were saying, the agents. I know we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but when the agents do come out, whether it's Bellerin, whether it's Xhaka, whether it's Torreira, do you think, Dave, this is just agents being typical agents and, you know, they start the ball rolling? Or do you think some of this stuff does come specifically from the player themselves?
Well, I think if it's become into the public domain, the agent is not going to do something without the player's knowledge. I don't think any player would allow their agent to speak publicly without their knowledge. If they were not ready to speak publicly about things, they would say to their agent, speak to some other agents, speak to some other clubs behind the scenes. But the fact that Torreira's agent and Bellerin's agent both seem to be quite happy to speak publicly, I just don't see, as much as my opinion of agents is quite low, I don't think they'd do that without the players, their clients' permission.
No, of course they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. And you always do that, don't you? It's almost become the accepted thing that these players will be... They almost use the agents as a shield, don't they? To
good cop, bad cop. So the agent can say, and they go, oh, no, my agent, you know, I'm happy here. But, you know...
Well, there was only a couple of years ago that there was that, you know... cab gate sort of thing where there was that recording by a taxi driver of what a chauffeur whatever of Bellerin's, you know, when his agent talking in the back of the car about agitating for a move in the latter part of Wenger's reign, and I, you know, reasonable authority, I think that actually did happen, you know. So, you know, he was definitely not happy towards the end of the Wenger era, but I thought under Emery, certainly last season, Bellerin was making all the right noises again. You know, he's a North London boy, isn't he? And I think most fans would have chosen him to be captain, and this just throws a little bit of a dampener on that, really, because he's come back. He's definitely not himself yet, but you can see the signs that it's only a matter of time, because he's that good. And that's the last thing you want to hear when you've got other players agitating.
Does it not speak to the general dressing room malaise that probably exists at the moment, that you've got this sort of stuff coming out? Because this hasn't really happened to us very much in the last, what, 4 or 5 years or whatever it is. You don't get the players coming out and saying this sort of stuff, those types of rumours. It does happen every once in a while when people go away on international break, but this feels like it almost feels a little bit like the rats deserting the sinking ship, because when you've got players that are just like, this isn't fun to be with, we're not playing good football, if Champions League starts to look less and less likely, which, again, like we were talking last week, what was it,
17%, yeah, chance, Arsenal's chances of making top four.
So when you've got stuff like that, the players will be thinking, do you know what? I'm playing all right, so maybe I can get a move to a Champions League team. And that's you get the likes of Aubameyang, will be thinking, I'm playing all right, so maybe I should just get myself out at the end of the season.
Maybe it's because we're in the Arsenal bubble, we're Arsenal fans, but it just feels like, to me, Arsenal, we're haunted by social media stuff. We saw it last week with Aubameyang posting a message, and then fans have come back and said, you know, what that was meant to be about all of a sudden. But, Dave, does it feel like this happens at United, elsewhere,
yeah,
Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But to the level that we're at, it just seems always a social media headline, whether it's an agent talking or, you know, TV outside of the grounds or other social media posts with our captain Granit Xhaka. It feels really rife.
Well, yes, indeed. But I would say it's just as... If Spurs were as big a club as us, you know, you'd hear it a bit more, but they're not. But it's definitely happening at Spurs. I mean, I heard Ricky on the station today. I mean, I was speaking to Ricky on the fans forum 3 months ago. He was talking about challenging for the Premier League. He's now having a debate with Love Sport today as to whether the manager should be sacked or not. I mean, you know, it does change. Spurs fans are desperately unhappy. Half the Spurs fans want Pochettino, who's the messiah 3 months ago, to be sacked. So it isn't just us. But I think the problem with us is that it should be a new dawn. That's why it's more exacerbated, because we were expecting something different than Wenger, something positive, something, a new direction, a new, you know, a new setup, a new regime. All the tools seem to be in the right place. The players have been signed. The management structure of the club seems better. Everybody's focused, and then it's not happening. That's why it seems to be exacerbated with us, I think.
No, not. I didn't mean the fans. I meant the players. We're hearing about the players, like Granit Xhaka's post and Aubameyang's post on Instagram.
Because we've heard about Eriksen out of our old rows. We've heard about, you know, Pogba at Man United. So I don't think it's just an Arsenal thing. I just think it's just like, as Chris said, it's because we are in such a bad situation, it's been like buses and, you know, buses in a row, hasn't it?
And it does feel like the situation's been exacerbated because Unai Emery doesn't essentially have the goodwill capital to fall back on. Yeah. Like Pochettino does, which is why you're talking about half the Spurs fans want Pochettino gone. Well, I think it feels like 80-90% of Arsenal fans want Unai Emery gone, because he hasn't actually... His season last season had some good bits. We were backing him. And then the debacle that happened with the form at the end of the season, and then that disgrace of a Europa Cup final, it really hit people hard. This season, people came back and they were actually a little bit more... There was a bit more renewed hope. You know, we'd done a bit more
good
business
window.
Good window. We've done a bit more business. All right, let's see what we had last season, but with some better players. Let's see if we can get that top four.
But we do still have to take stock. And we're looking at the fixtures. We've got Southampton, we've got Norwich, we've got Brighton, we've got West Ham. You know, we've got those four games before we play Man City. Now, just say we build up a head of steam and get 12 points or 10 points and we're in fifth, and we play the same system every week with the same players every week. That's how quickly it could turn around. Yeah. Even though they're lesser sides, if we played the same system and we had some continuity and everyone knew they were playing and suddenly the style developed, everyone would forget.
Do you know what? My anger and frustration and irritation with Unai Emery and publicly calling for him to go would start to subsidise. If we win four out of our next four, including...
Subsidise. I'm subsidising your wages, Emery.
All right.
I'm paying for your wages.
All right. Faux pas.
Continue,
Chris. Vocal faux pas. Subside.
It happens.
It would subside. But if you think about that, so let's break it down. Arsenal, Southampton, win.
Yeah.
Then Norwich away.
Win.
At the moment, the way we're playing,
They've got so many players injured.
Brighton at home, West Ham away. So ignore the Europa League stuff. If he picks four wins out of four, 12 points, and we're looking a little bit differently, then maybe, you know, we go to that Man City game feeling a bit more excited, bit of a renewed vigour. However, if he does not pick up four out of four, it's every single time. It feels like every single time something goes wrong, the fans are going to get right back on his back.
Yeah, I think even a draw wouldn't be enough.
In any of the games.
I think he does need to win all four.
You mentioned there, though, Chris, you said 80 to 90% maybe already want the manager out. You said, but if we have a good run of form in the next four or five games, you know, the want for the manager leaving or someone new will subside. But... Yes. Isn't this the problem, though? Because can't you give that a chance? I'm very much, you know, I still don't think we should change just yet. I still believe in Unai. But, you know, there is a potential. There is a chance for us to go on a four or five run games. It can't be that quick. Oh, if we get four or five games, then I don't mind him staying.
Okay. I still think he should, even four wins, I don't think the performances have been good enough. Even before this current poor run, we can now look back at Watford away, Bournemouth at home, Aston Villa at home until we turned it around. There are Newcastle, even the first game of the season, Newcastle away, we were pretty poor at times. The problem is that we've got lots of data points behind this current poor run, which are pointing worryingly towards the fact he doesn't really know what he's doing, arguably. My view is that, like you, if he gets four out of four, then you say, okay, well, if we're still in it, if we're still in the hunt, then you don't change a manager if you're still in the hunt. But I just feel that the way we're playing at the moment, I cannot see us winning all four of those games with the way that the players are playing. The confidence levels is so poor. It only takes, Southampton to get one counter-attacking goal on Saturday and they score the first goal and people will be on his back. You know, the players themselves look like as soon as we concede, they just fold. Sorry, mate.
Davey, he's already lost you.
Say something positive.
Well, I was just thinking of a parallel, to be honest. I would say 5 weeks ago, most of the media were calling for Solskjaer to be sacked. Now most of the media are saying he's got something going, he's got the consistency, they're grinding out results, it looks like you can see a direction they're taking. And that is a complete turnaround. And it's down to a couple, and that's without Pogba, it's Martial coming back, and a consistency of selection. That's what's happened. He's been able to select that front three he wanted. That might happen with Tierney and Bellerin fully fit. We might look a completely different team. I know we've said this before, but it could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not confident it's going to happen. But certainly, Solskjaer's definitely, you know, if he hasn't turned it around completely, he's well on the turn at Man United. They've had a good run of results.
Well, stop the
they look like they have a consistent playing style. Rashford seemed to have his mojo back. Martial's back. They're looking like a consistent setup again. They've always been tight at the back. And it was only, I say, 4 or 5 weeks ago, everyone was like, there's no chance. He's not going to last till Christmas. So it can change. You know, it's a very fickle business, as we know. But Chris is right. You know, this is not a this season thing. This goes back to about March last year when the form turned. And as Chris correctly said, we all forgot that last 3 months of last season because of this fantastic transfer window on paper that we had. What I'm really concerned about, I don't really care about Xhaka, it's done. I do care about Lucas Torreira. I really feel disheartened by that because I'm not saying he's Gilberto Silva reincarnate, he's not Claude Makélélé, but, you know, if he was in that role week in, week out, it, you know, he may not be our long-term solution. but he's a better solution than Xhaka. And now we've managed to not only upset Xhaka, we've managed to upset Lucas Torreira by playing him out of position while Xhaka was getting upset. That's really frustrating.
It is really frustrating. It's also really worrying. Dave said he's worried about Torreira being unhappy, and he certainly is. We're going to talk about what him and his agent had to say next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Dave just was speaking a little bit about Torreira then. He's not happy. We're not playing him in his position. Last year, we were so excited when he signed. He had a great start to the season. Kind of hit a wall January, I think it's fair to say. We've not seen the best of him this year. But if all reports are to be believed, Dave, he's not happy, is he?
Well, I don't think he was happy in the summer, to be honest. And I don't think he's been happy all season. And that's just been exacerbated by being asked to play in a position that he probably doesn't want to play. I mean, albeit people do forget, when he started his professional career, he was a winger. He was converted to a defensive midfield player when he was at Sampdoria. So, you know, it's not like he can't play in a more advanced game. He's seen him score some good goals and he can thread a pass. But I just think it's just the not knowing where he stands. And, you'd sense listening to him talk and his agent talk that he's not getting much in the way of feedback from the manager. I mean, the manager's talking in the press about, oh, yes, he's doing a great job for us on the edge of the box. He's got attacking instincts. And you think I wonder if he's having that conversation with Lucas Torreira, because you get the impression from the agent that there hasn't been those conversations going on and he's just been asked to do a job that he wasn't expected to be asked to do. You know?
Bear with me here, and I'm probably being a little bit cynical. Well, I am. I feel that this is a great scapegoat for Torreira to say, I'm not being played in my position. I believe he's not happy either way. You know, I don't know whether it's the climate, the weather, the language. He doesn't really want to be. I think he'd love to go back to Serie A. Napoli, AC Milan, apparently, you know, are interested in his service. For me, this feels like that plays perfectly into that situation. If we were winning and he was playing there, we heard some of the rumours still last year. I don't know if he's overly happy playing in the Premier League, playing with Arsenal, playing in England, Chris.
Yeah, I think winning also helps, doesn't it? You know, if we're top of the league right now and he's playing in a winning team, then everyone.
Well, you see the way he reacts when things are going well. You know, when he scores,
Yeah, exactly. So, I think the Torreira situation is an interesting one. I think the communication actually is an important point to bring up on, because I've heard this a couple of times about Emery's communication style, because people often compare it to Wenger's, who he was a brilliant communicator, but also he'd always put his arm around people, and Emery doesn't seem like he's that sort of guy. So I wonder if there's part of that, but he has been played out of position. And some of the comments from, was it Pablo Benacur, whatever it is, the agent, that is worrying. And my worry is that we're going to end up shipping out players just because we've got a guy who's not playing in the right position. Square pegs in round holes.
Well, a bigger worry is, like Dave said, we can't afford to lose Torreira and Xhaka.
No, we can't. I mean, however highly, and I think most of us do rate Guendouzi and Willock very highly, you've got to remember that those two and Ceballos are all, you know, between sort of 20 and 22. You know, you know, however good they are, however talented they are, and we don't know how long. I assume Ceballos is only a minor strain, so I assume he's going to be available at the weekend. But you still got, if you're going to play 4-3-3, and if he does go back to that, that's three players playing for Arsenal, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, who are all under 22. As the engine room, you need some experience in there, which is why I think he relied so heavily on Xhaka. And you know, Xhaka wasn't really good enough, potentially, but he still had the experience and the calming influence in the same way that Arteta did when he was playing with Song or Wilshere or Ramsey when they were younger players. You just need that one player who's going to be that calming influence. So if we were in a situation, because Torreira's not even that old, Xhaka is experienced. If we lose Xhaka and Torreira, I think there's two things. He either has to buy or he has to make a decision to play David Luiz in midfield. They're the two options. And I think the latter one is a distinct possibility going forward.
Do you think there's a case where we lose both in January or one? Because I can't see. I think Arsenal, with the way they've handled business and contracts, if they're both resigned to losing them, I don't think it'll be to the summer for both.
Well, it will only happen if Emery's made a decision that now Holding's fit, Chambers is playing well. You know, Mustafi's actually playing well in Europe, and he's got four centre backs apart from David Luiz. If he thinks he can trust two of them. and he's going to go back to 4-2-3-1, then he could play David Luiz alongside a Willock or a Guendouzi without any shadow of a doubt. Because I think most international football experts would say that's David Luiz's best position. But so that's a possibility. Otherwise, yes, I wouldn't do it unless they've got a guaranteed replacement to come
in. So, Charlie, did I hear you say that you think that neither Xhaka or Torreira will go until the summer?
No, what? Both would.
I don't think they'll let either go. If they do, it'll be Xhaka. They won't let Torreira go until the summer.
I think I'll be really interested to see what happens when Emery does his press conference this week, because and whether the questions are asked about whether Xhaka gets into the squad. Because if he basically says something along the lines of, oh, you know, he's not quite ready or something like
that.
He's
played two games for Switzerland.
Exactly. He's played a couple of times for Switzerland with a big smiling face on an Instagram post with, you know, subtle comments about happiness and whatever it is. He can play. He's ready to play. He's match fit. If Emery doesn't put him into the team, I think that's him done. And I think they'll just ship him in January.
I think I'm absolutely crazy, and you two both tell me that. But for some strange reason, I don't think Xhaka's done at Arsenal. I don't know why. I think he will. There's going to be a way. He finds a way back in. Honestly, I can't see him going.
I tend to agree, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like we're definitely in the minority, Dave.
No, I just
Ozil found a way back.
Well, has he?
That's desperation on Emery's part, isn't it? He's trying to find solutions.
Well, there is a precedent here, isn't there? Because Galas carried on for a long time after his captaincy was stripped in a very public fashion. And what Galas did on the pitch was probably, I think, as bad, if not worse.
I agree.
We were going for the title, and he sat down and refused to move in the middle of a bloody game. And he found a way back into the Arsenal. Well, in fact, he was never dropped. He carried on playing. He just was stripped of the armband. So there is a precedent. And I keep coming back to the fact there has to be an older head in that midfield with all these youngsters. So it's going to be Xhaka, or it's going to be David Luiz, or we buy. They're the three options. But I do quite like the idea of David Luiz playing as a defensive midfield player if Torreira's not happy.
That worries me.
I quite like the idea of someone playing alongside Granit Xhaka as a proper defensive midfielder. A ball-winning midfielder alongside Xhaka would probably work quite well last season. Yeah, and it worked. When we got to about this time last year, it was actually working. Xhaka and Torreira alongside each other was working. And now for some weird reason, he's pulled out Torreira, or he's playing him a more advanced, pressing higher, which I don't think has worked. And Granit Xhaka, we all know the situation there, but his form has suffered as well, being sat alongside Matteo Guendouzi.
I think also the other thing that's happened is he's moved from the 4-2-3-1 with a pressing 10, which he did most of the last, until we moved to the back three last year. He was playing Ramsey in that pressing 10 role, which is why he wasn't letting Ozil play there. And I think if he was playing the 4-2-3-1, I don't think he's ever going to play a part. I don't think he wants to play a passing 10. It's like if you look at the way Oxlade-Chamberlain played for England in the 4-2-3-1, or the way, you know, that's a running 10. He can pass the ball, but you know, he can beat a man as well. That's what he wants. He wants someone who's going to be able to press their defence. And Ramsey was that player. Whatever reason, he's not with us anymore. So I think that's when we saw the best of Torreira and Xhaka, when all three of them were playing. But it wasn't in a 4-3-3. It was more, it was a slightly different formation. So Torreira just doesn't seem to know on the right of the 4-3-3 exactly what it is. You know, is it a 4-1-2-3 or is it 4-2? And if it's a 4-2 are sitting and one's got a roving role, he seems to have been the one with the roving role, and he hasn't got a clue what he's supposed to be doing.
And then you go back to the communication issue. I mean, if he doesn't know or doesn't look like he knows what his actual instructions are, then ultimately who's the one that's giving him? Is it Emery? Maybe I'm bashing Emery too much. Maybe it's not him. Maybe the player is not delivering, and maybe that's why, you know, he's not really played as much. But there's something's not right there. And we've got a very, very good, competent, defensive, ball-winning midfielder who's not being played in a position that everyone, apart from the Arsenal coaching staff, seem to know how to play.
Well, and we're talking about the formations, Dave. You mentioned a lot there. What if he sticks to the three at the back with the two wing-backs and it's completely different? What do you think of that as well?
Well, we said that 2 weeks ago, didn't we? Charlie and I said that we thought he would drift to that and the players would suit that, because there's no doubt a fully fit Tierney and a fully fit Bellerin will probably quite enjoy that. And it does solve a problem of, you know, the fact that we haven't got enough good central midfield players, because, you know, there's more stability behind them. But I'm not convinced. I've never seen us play I think probably handful of games where we've had actually had, everyone says we should, but when we have Lacazette and Aubameyang as a two, I'm struggling to think of more than three or four games where it's actually worked.
Mm. You know, it feels like it should
work. It feels like it should work. But I just think right now he's got to go for a team rather than the players. He's got to stop shoehorning. And I think, personally, it means that he has to choose. I've said this before on station. He has to choose between Lacazette and Aubameyang as his starter. And I think Martinelli or Reece Nelson, if fit, you know, that he needs, you know, he needs Pepe on one side and one of the other two on the other side. More naturally wide forwards, cutting in, going past their man. Just give us a bit more width and just go back to a 4-2-3-1. But it means rotating the centre forward. And that means Laka will probably, you know, want to leave as well at the end of the season. But I just don't, I've never seen it really work. They obviously play well together when Aubameyang's on the left, but he's in such a rich vein of form. Do we want to push him back out on the left? I don't think we do.
Mm. I mean, the problem is that when they've been playing together recently, the form of the whole team has just been so rubbish that that hasn't impacted. But, you know, you can't take that point going back to last season. Even at times, it didn't seem to work as well. But they haven't, like you said, I'm trying to think. The Crystal Palace game, he played a 4-4-2, he started off with.
Yeah.
And, well, we get two goals up, but that was just from two set pieces. So can you say that worked? I don't really know.
Well, we're talking about formations and where the club is at right now. We're going to talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit more about the manager and look towards that game with Southampton, which is a huge game on the weekend.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Dave Seeger and Chris Howard. You can still have your say on tonight's show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. Let's quickly talk then, because obviously, have our feelings changed towards the manager at all with the international break? Because we mentioned it earlier, Chris, you know, you're in that little bubble. Maybe you think, oh, maybe I am being a bit too harsh. Maybe it is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. Or now that you've had time to reflect, you still feel the same, if not worse.
I don't feel worse.
That's good. Let's move on to Dave. That's a pleasant start.
I think, as I said before the international break, in some ways Emery's a lucky boy because we've got four very winnable fixtures. As far as I'm concerned, it's you win those four fixtures, mate, and then we'll see how you're getting on once we get onto there. I mean, the Europa League ones, we should beat Frankfurt, and then that's it, done and dusted, in theory. We were just also talking about formations, actually, and we talked about this last week. My view is that 4-2-3-1 is the way to go forward, dropping Torreira back into that sort of defensive hole. Bellerin and Tierney starting, play Leno, play Luiz. I'm not really sure about Sogrades or who else plays there.
Chambers on.
I don't know who plays alongside Torreira, though, because I don't think Guendouzi is believing a bit of his own hype at the moment.
He's definitely not been as good the last few games.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's that good.
Chambers and Torreira.
He won't drop Guendouzi.
No, he won't. But is that the right thing to do? Because when I've seen Guendouzi and Torreira together, it doesn't always feel like it works.
Mm.
It's not been very often, though.
I tell you what, though. It was quite... At the end of last season, it wasn't working. And I thought Torreira was struggling with the Premier League at the end of last season because he only played 25 games for Sampdoria the previous season. He, as you say, he went off the ball from about January, February. And it didn't help him playing with Guendouzi and not Xhaka. Was Xhaka injured? I can't remember. But there were games where those two played together. And Guendouzi also went off the ball badly at the end of last season because of just being overplayed as a 20-year-old or 19-year-old. He just played far too many games. So I think both of those two were struggling. They were running on treacle at the end of last season. So I don't think we can judge them as a pair on how bad they were at the end of last season. I don't know how many times I've seen them play in a two this season. Probably once, twice.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to struggle.
I'd certainly try it. But then again, if Ceballos is fit, then I think we have to give Ceballos a run of games, particularly as he said he doesn't want to go back to Real Madrid, which is interesting. Mm. You know, I don't think any Arsenal fans are... Well, I wouldn't say the majority of Arsenal fans are convinced by him, but I think there's a player in there, definitely. I think we need to give him a run of games.
Imagine, this is the perfect game for Danny Ceballos. Yeah, we're at home, we're going to dominate the possession. He's a bit of a passion merchant, you know, he should be all over it. This is a game, really, because we've mentioned that, you know, he seems low on confidence. Yeah. This should be the ideal game for
him. And also, the other thing is, we've had this international break, you know, so what was it good, what is bad? What's good for is Lacazette's had more time to get back up to, because he's not been up to speed since he came back from injury. He's had a lot of time. He's not been with the French national side. Bellerin's not been the Spanish national side. Tierney's not been the Scottish national side. You know, and Ceballos has not been
at the request of Arsenal.
Yeah, so they're all there, probably doing serious training. You know, in that international break to get more, you know, up to speed. So, you know, if they are all fit and ready to go and a lot fitter than they were 2 weeks ago, that's got to be a plus. And we couldn't be playing a better side right now than Southampton.
Yeah,
I mean, they are so low on confidence.
Even lower than us.
Yeah.
Unbelievably. And we need to lay a marker down.
We're fifth, aren't we?
Yeah. We need to lay a marker down, though. A marker needs to be laid down.
Yeah, they need to spank them.
All right, Dave. That was said with a little bit too much vigour.
We're four or five. No, we do.
You need to step away from the mic a little bit.
I thought that's what you meant by lay a marker down.
Well, we will be talking to Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast all about the game and whether Saints are running low on confidence. What does he think? Maybe the Saints are looking at the game and saying, perfect time to be playing Arsenal also. Let's talk about, we're mentioning central midfield partnerships, Torreira, Guendouzi, Xhaka. A name that we're not mentioning is Willock. And, you know, he started the season very, very well. And now he sort of found himself on the fringes of the team, out of the fold a little bit. But it wasn't down to performances, Dave, because I really enjoyed watching him at the start of the season. Could he be someone, for me, I feel like should be starting given a chance?
Well, the only reason I'm not mentioning him is not because I just think it's too young. Yeah, we can't have three.
But we overplayed Guendouzi. You just mentioned it. We're playing, and why not him?
Well, I'm also, you've got to be, I mean, I probably would, but you've got to be realistic. And Emery does not drop Matteo Guendouzi. He just doesn't. Mm. He never drops him. If he's fit, he plays. And I didn't see that happening at the start of this season. I thought after the way he finished last season, he wouldn't be in the side, but he has been. So I think Guendouzi plays. But Willock's interesting because if we do play 4-2-3-1 and it isn't Ozil, then I think that role is made for Willock. He can carry the ball, he's a good passer, he scores goals. In the first two games of the season, he played once in a sort of two and once as the 10. He can definitely do that job.
He's been suffering, though, from his confidence, hasn't he? Because, you know, we talked about it, the last international break, got subbed off twice, was it, for the under-21s.
But then that goal against
Liverpool,
that should have given him some confidence.
Well, he would be low on confidence. You started well and then you find yourself out of the team because they all thought... This was going to be his year. You know, Reece Nelson started, Willock started. Obviously, Nelson had the injury. But, you know, when the team are low on confidence and we're not sure of the formations or the pairings, he's going to be wanting to start these games, Chris.
You would have thought so.
But if you look at a three and you do go Willock...
Torreira.
No, in a three, I mean, if it's 4-2-3-1. Right, so you've got Pepe, who's played, what, 10 games in British football and is obviously not high on confidence. You've got Willock, who's 19, 20 or 21, is he? And Martinelli is 19. They're the three form players.
Mm. That's big
gamble. No experience there at all, is there? There's no reserves to call on.
But then if we rely on the players that we are with no confidence of putting in a performance like Leicester, and then we're getting the same old. We have to try something.
But you've got to have a blend of youth and experience. You can't throw too many kids in at the same time.
But here's the thing. If Aubameyang and Lacazette are fit, I think they both start. So if you're going to take the point in saying he doesn't drop Guendouzi, well, he's not going to drop Lacazette and Aubameyang, is he? So Martinelli's not going to get that shout.
Yeah.
I don't think he will.
Martinelli won't start.
Well, he could easily start in a 4-2-3-1 because Pepe hasn't started the last two games. So he could start,
but he's not going to start because Emery's not going to play that. He's not going to play him there. He's certainly not going to play. If he did a 4-2-3-1, he's not going to play Martinelli on the left and he's not going to play Pepe on...
He'll play Martinelli on the right.
All right, but he's not going to play Martinelli on the right and Pepe on the left.
No, Aubameyang will be on the left if he's going to play both. You said if he plays Lacazette and
Aubameyang. I can't see him starting Martinelli. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that he won't go down that route. It's almost the antithesis of Guendouzi always starting. I've got this feeling about Martinelli.
You're saying you hope it's going to be 4-2-3-1, then Aubameyang's back on the left then for you the weekend.
It's not. Yeah, I think he will. I think that's what he'll go for. Or he might try this 4-4-2 again. Play those two up top. You know, if Ceballos comes back in, he played left. Not sure that worked, but play Pepe on the right. I've got a feeling that had some circumstances not gone against us on Crystal Palace, then he would have seen that as, all right, that's my blueprint, and we'd have seen that a lot more.
Let's quickly talk about Matthew Upson because he's been saying some things about his former club this week, saying that Emery, you know, obviously it was any task to follow a manager like Arsene Wenger with the amount of time he had at the club is going to be difficult. You just have to look at Man United. But he said, made some mistakes, the key mistake, should have spent more on the defence, shouldn't have gone out and spent 70 million on Pepe, should have gone out and bolstered the defence. He did, he bought Tierney, we bought William...
Saliba.
Yeah, who obviously is not here this year, and he's had a fair injury this year as also. But he has. It's just, you know, this is the way it's gone. You think Matthew Upson fair there, Chris?
I don't think he is fair. I think Arsenal identified players they wanted. They've wanted Tierney for a while. They played the slightly longer game, but they got him. They identified Saliba and they got him eventually. But the caveat was, well, you can have him, but you have him in a year. So Arsenal took that decision. So I kind of understand.
And he wanted, you know, with Iwobi and Mkhitaryan not being naturally wide players, playing wide and coming in all the time, I think he wanted a natural wide player, and Pepe was obviously the man he identified.
So I think it's not that. I think there's been some form of a breakdown in the confidence, in perhaps the way that the team are set up and communicated. The formations that he's put together have seemed... It's changing, it's chopping and changing every week. The personnel in certain positions has just seemed a little bit random at times.
Mkhitaryan's thrown in his two pennies worth this week as well, hasn't he?
Has he? What has
he said? No, he was saying that he lost all confidence because Emery just wanted him to sort of support the fullback all the time, tuck in and play, not play with any width. And it was instructions. He followed instructions and he couldn't express himself at all, so he lost confidence. He blamed it on Emery.
Do we think that he's telling the truth there? Because
he does seem to be playing all right at the moment.
Yeah. Is he playing all right at Roma? I just don't watch enough Italian football to tell.
He's playing about as well as Chris Smalling, I think, who's actually had a new lease of life at Roma. So. No, he's playing with more confidence. That's what he's saying. He's allowed to express himself. He is an expressive player. He is a talented player. He didn't become a bad player. He just didn't play well for Arsenal. So now he's saying it was, you know, manager's instructions. Fans got on my back because I was doing what I was told and I wasn't allowed to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, when it's going badly or negative, they all come out of the woodwork now. Something else that the manager was not doing well, obviously communication, a big part of that. Also, it's not going well down at St Mary's for Southampton. We play them this week, this time at the Emirates. And Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast will be joining us next.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Dave Seager and Chris Howard. We were talking everything where Arsenal concerned, but looking ahead towards that game on the weekend with Southampton, Saints not in the best of form as well. Perfect time for Arsenal to be playing them. Or is it the perfect time for Saints to come up to the Emirates and kickstart their season because they are languishing down the bottom of the Premier League? Well, joining us now is Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast. Tom, not going well for Saints, obviously. Obviously, the last few results, playing City twice, losing 9-0 to Leicester, losing against Everton, what was a massive clash before the international break. Both sides down there. Not enough confidence for Saints at the minute. It is Arsenal on the weekend. What are your thoughts ahead of this one?
Well, I think Arsenal is a funny game, isn't it? Because on paper, there's no way Saints should get anything from this game. Arsenal have got a better squad. They're at home. Everything's going for them, but... You know, I'm an optimist and you feel that Arsenal are a bit weak at home. They're prone to a mistake. If Saints can get at them, you know, there's every chance we can try and get something from the game. The problem is whether Ralph can raise the players to do that.
Hey, Tom, it's Chris here. So a quick question. So I recall Ralph's first game, which was against us, and, you know, a new manager bounce plus the fact that, you know, Arsenal like to give everybody a chance away from home when we're away from home. What's different about the energised approach to Southampton in that opening sort of 3 months of his reign as manager compared to what's been happening this season as somebody who doesn't really ever watch Southampton?
Well, we've in recent weeks, not so much all season. We started off the season with a very poor away game at Burnley. We were then doing okay, and then the wheels have really completely fallen off following the home loss at Bournemouth. Strangely enough, we've stopped pressing. And it's really odd. If you look at the way we score goals, generally we don't score brilliantly. You know, we don't score Arsenal goals. I'm talking lots of intricate passes, slicing teams open, you know, the sort of Raheem Sterling tapping at the back post goals. We score goals by putting teams under pressure, forcing them to make mistakes. Danny Ings has got two goals from forcing goalkeepers into hitting the ball into him from 1 yard out. So already this season. So
I take a few of those at Arsenal right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we score goals. The worrying thing for Saints is they seem to have stopped pressing. And if you look, since the Tottenham game, where we lost 2-1, again, you know, arguably we could have got something from that game, we've stopped pressing as high up the pitch. Now, we've had a lot of injuries, but the worry is that if Ralph can't get the players motivated, particularly home game against Everton, which you mentioned earlier, that was all to play for. Everton, having not won an away game since March, they're in pretty torrid form themselves. Ahead of an international break, could the players raise their game? Could Ralph get them motivated? And he couldn't. It was one of the worst performances you'll ever see. And I think a large part of that is, for whatever reason, whether the players aren't carrying out Ralph's instructions or Ralph's asking them not to, we're not pressing. And that means that if we're not pressing, we're not creating chances.
So how much are the fans still behind Hasenhüttl, or is it turned now? Like, do you still back him as a collective, or where's the sentiment at the moment?
I believe the fans are still behind Ralph. I think Southampton fans know deep down that Ralph Hasenhüttl is probably a better manager than Southampton deserves at the present time. He was probably not a better manager than we deserved immediately after Koeman left the club or after Puel left, but he's certainly a better manager than we thought we were probably going to get. I think the problem is with Ralph is that he's inherited a team of, you know, a mixture of quite good players and players that simply aren't good enough. The investment policy of the club has been very, very poor. Whenever we've spent big money on players, they've got progressively worse. We've generally squandered all of the Van Dijk money that we had. So if you look at the team we've got, we've continually sold players. And for years, we were able to replace those players with players as good, maybe even better. Our luck has run out and, you know, our chickens have come home to roost. And I think the problem of the underachievement of the squad, combined with the really poor running of the club, we've gone from becoming, you know, described as one of the best run clubs in the country to being one of the worst. We've got currently got no director of football. We've got no head of recruitment.
Perhaps Clive Woodward will come back. Manager.
Well, you know what? It's going to be better than having no one. We've got no head of recruitment. We've got no under 23 coach. I don't think we've got an under 18 coach either. And obviously, a large.
This is the club that had the best academy in the league for years.
Yeah.
And you haven't got an under 18 coach.
Look at that. And if you look at that pipeline of players coming from the under,
well, we took most of them until Liverpool started taking them.
Yeah, but even look at that, we always had players coming through, and that pipeline has stopped. So, I think, you know, these next games we've got, and we said this before the Everton game, absolutely crucial. We've got Arsenal coming up next. We've got games against Watford and Norwich at home after that, and then I think we've got Newcastle and West Ham. Now, this Arsenal game coming up is not going to define our season, but what's more important, really, than the result is the manner of the performance. And Saints players have to turn in a performance that makes the fans proud, makes them feel that at least they're proud of wearing the shirt. The concern is if they don't, and then we go into those two big six-pointers at home, you know, things could get very messy for Saints by the end of November.
But you've got two players there who last season were pushing to be regulars for England in Ward-Prowse and Redmond under Southgate. He liked them both. He'd had them both as under-21s. They were both playing well. Everyone was raving about Nathan Redmond. I wanted us to sign Cedric Suarez and you let him go on loan. He's come back. He seems to be half the player he was. Arsenal, we're blaming Emery because we know we've got good players. So you're saying you're sticking with Ralph Hasenhüttl, and yet these players were on fire last season, and one of them in Italy and two of them in the England squad. They're not performing. So why is that not down to the manager?
Yes and no. I mean, Suarez, if I look at, I think a lot of the club is there's bad judgment throughout the club. And I'll give you an example, which is a couple of weeks ago, or last week I think it was, Cedric Suarez gave an interview to the Daily Telegraph where he was talking about how he's loved his time at Southampton, but he's going to move on and he's going to find a new club at the end of the season when his contract runs out. That's no big surprise. I don't think anyone ever thought, you know, he was never getting any awards for Mr. Southampton. But for me, it's endemic of bad decision-making in the club. Why, when the club is in free fall and the fans are in uproar and they want to hear something positive, why are you putting up for interview with a national newspaper a bloke who, as talented as he is, has never really gone the extra mile for Saints? Why is he? What's the purpose of putting him up for that interview to say, I'm off? What message does that send to the rest of the squad? What message does that send to the employees at the club? What message does it send to Everton, who are about to play us 2 or 3 days later? And for me, yeah, you could argue it's just a newspaper interview. It doesn't mean anything. But for me, what it shows is a lack of judgment at the football club. And it's this continual lack of judgment and poor decision-making that has led to Southampton to be in the position they're in now. Because there is no way, with the players we've had and the manager we've got in Ralph, there's no way we should be where we are. But the table doesn't lie.
The table doesn't lie. Tom, you said this is a game that Southampton, they need to get points from. They need to be up from it. We need to see a performance, very much like the Arsenal side we've been saying for the past hour. We need to see a performance. So both teams are going to have to be really up for it. We're going to have to match Southampton's intensity on the weekend. But Tom, million-dollar question, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
I can't see Saints getting anything out of the game. It wouldn't surprise me. 3-0 Arsenal, Lacazette and Aubameyang with two.
Tom, really appreciate you coming on, even if it was
come
just
on
for
next
that.
Week,
yeah,
if
Tom,
say that.
Please, if that happens, we'll be very happy in the studio. Tom Parker there from Saints FC Podcast. Really good to have him on, saying Arsenal going to get the result 3-0. Chris, you said it has to be the performance just as well as the points. Dave said he wanted to spank Southampton. Does that count? Is 3-0 good enough?
Yeah, that would be very
That'd
good.
That'd be amazing. I'd like that. Take that.
Have we got time to talk about the really big story of the week?
Massive story of the
week. We haven't talked about Ian Wright yet, have we?
Dave, do you know what? I wasn't expecting that. Touche. But another big story of the week, just quickly, it was the North London Derby in the Arsenal Women's Super League. Arsenal running out 2-0 winners, and it was a record attendance in the Women's Super League, 38,000. So that was brilliant, and it was nice to say first time in North London Derby, the new Tottenham Stadium, Arsenal got the results. So something that we can dine. I'm certainly dining out on, because I'm that petty and I'm that stubborn.
Yeah,
Chris,
I would agree.
Desperate.
I'm not the biggest fan of. I've not been the biggest fan of the ladies' football, but I think it is good, and it's an opportunity actually for like young kids to actually go and see this sort of stuff as well,
because
it's so expensive going to watch the Arsenal unless you're going to wait around until the Emirates Cup in the summer. So you know, if you've got
£6 a ticket,
yeah, perfect. So good opportunity, go and watch some live football. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Let's turn our attentions to obviously back to the Saints game. Dave, how do you think it will play out, and what is your score prediction?
Well, I agree with Chris. I hope we go back to 4-2-3-1, and I think our guest might have it right there. I think I'd happily go with 3-0, and I think I can see that happening.
We have a terrible defence, so we're going to concede. However, I'm actually going to go with the win as well, because I do think it'll be I've got a weird feeling of a 3-1.
I
don't know how. It even feels like it might be. We were talking about laying down a marker, you know, a good performance as well as the win would be just perfect. But I don't think it'll be a good performance. We talked about baby steps in the break. I think that it'll be one of those where we'll go one up. Maybe it'll go 1-1, maybe it'll go 2-1, and then it's a late minute sort of goal to make a bit of gloss onto the performance. But I've just got a weird feeling it'll be a grinding out, gritty 3-1.
Yeah, of course it'll be a grinding out, gritty game, because whenever we do need a performance and a team comes to visit where they need a performance and they've been in a run of terrible form, we're going to see Arsenal struggling to break them down. It just feels like
unless
that.
Unless we score early.
Well, we did that against Palace.
Yeah, but Palace were 1 point behind us in the league, you know, one position behind us. They were high on confidence. Southampton are about as low on confidence as you can get. So if we score early, I can't see them responding in the way that Palace did.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm.
And either way, it'll be a good Monday show, won't it, next week when we're back to talk about it.
Yeah, let's be positive for a change. That'd be nice.
And
yeah.
A big shout out to Santi Cazorla scoring for Spain this week.
Yeah, how about
and,
that?
And he wants to come back to the club in some
and
capacity.
And he does, yeah. We'll talk about that next week.
Imagine. Yeah, we should. And maybe we should talk a little bit about Ian Wright also. They mentioned it there. Just come on.
Well, we'll have a week's worth of challenges to talk about next week.
We certainly will. Well, this has been the Arsenal Fan Show on Lost Book Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I was joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Dave Seager and Chris Howard. You can catch us next week at the same time as you can every Monday. It is tradition. It is the Arsenal Takeover. 7-8 right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.